This is a public services announcement. The year is 2017. The Department of Dairy-Related Scrumptious Affairs has been established to remind people of their love of dairy. It's not a real department, of course. It's a department that's been set up. It's a spoof. It's funded through a joint piece of work between AHDB Dairy and Dairy UK. The organisation has been the front for several hundred thousand pounds worth of marketing campaign, and I'm going to be joined shortly by a couple of people who are going to tell me a little bit about that campaign and what's behind its thinking. The promotional activity targeted 20 to 35-year-olds, and it was intended to remind them of the importance of dairy in a balanced diet. I'm John Bates, and this is the AHDB latest podcast. I'm joined by Stu Baker, who's the Senior Marketing Manager at AHDB. Stu, thanks very much for coming along. Let's just have a little bit of a chat then. So I've already said 2017 was the year when this campaign was initiated, or at least that's when the decision was made. Let's go right back to that point. Why was the decision made to embark upon a marketing campaign?
I guess essentially we hadn't been active in marketing as AHDB for probably the best part of a decade. So we undertook some research in conjunction with Dairy UK through an agency called Edelman, which gave us some interesting results in some areas that we probably hadn't considered previously. So looking at dairy, not necessarily being a conscious decision to reduce the amount consumed, but actually people were forgetting about it in some respect. So this gave us some valuable insight for us to be able to shape a campaign and allowed us to target a certain audience, which in this case was a millennial audience, so 24 to 36-year-olds, who we were seeing that biggest decline in terms of consumption.
So really, what you're saying is that there is so much choice out there that what the consumers were doing was they were just forgetting about dairy in their diet.
Yeah, definitely. I think the choice, and certainly not necessarily just the choice around the dairy category itself, but more around host foods as well. So we were seeing changes in consumption around sandwiches, so people maybe not consuming as much cheese. We were seeing an increase in scratch cooking, but possibly not the meal occasions where you can introduce dairy into those. And equally with hot drinks, more people actually going for lattes. So actually the volume was increasing in terms of comparison to a cup of tea, but the number of occasions was declining. So it was counteractive and counterbalancing those opportunities for us to look at how we could position the campaign around those, not just talking about the dairy category as a whole, but actually positioning around those host meal occasions.
Now, the decision was made to go for a fairly light-hearted approach, and so the Department of Dairy-Related Scrumptious Affairs was formed. Has that been well received?
It certainly has, and I think that what we've noticed is that it's been well received not just by consumers but by the levy payers alike. The level of humour, once we've looked into the data and into the ways that consumers want to be talked to or with, and it is important to note that that is increasingly a two-way dialogue between brands or organisations and consumers, is that the messages that they wanted to hear were around taste and around enjoyment, because those were ultimately the main decision drivers behind why consumers buy food. Obviously, health does have an impact, and environment and welfare and ethics, etc., do come into the conversation, but the level that we see people making decisions around taste and enjoyment of food is not as important. So having that conversational, light-hearted tone to the campaign to bring that element of taste and enjoyment to life was really important for the delivery.
So with all government departments, of course, there's occasionally a reshuffle and a change of leader and so on, and it won't have escaped anybody's notice that the country's been experiencing that just at the moment. But in terms of this Department of Dairy-Related Scrumptious Affairs, there were some key appointments made into the Cabinet, I think.
There were indeed. So in the autumn, November, we made our first appointments to the Department. So we had 6 social media influencers, which essentially are people who have high profiles on the likes of Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. They're able to communicate with consumers who follow them for various different reasons, different interests, whether it be for food or lifestyle choices. So as I say, we hired 6 key positions. So we had a head of butter, which was Ed Kimber, who won the Great British Bake Off in 2015. We had a director, or 2 directors of cheeses actually, one for soft cheese and one for hard, and a minister for milk, amongst others. And these were used to push out messages from the department in their role as minister or head of their respective sort of subcategories to get those messages out to an audience that perhaps we couldn't reach through the advertising, but equally it allowed for that conversation on social media, those messages to be shared and consumers to interact with with the ministers to have that kind of conversation, but again, keeping in tune with that light-hearted element of the campaign.
Okay, and then that was further developed then. Apart from the social media activity, there was some other activity around posters and television advertising, I think. Just tell me a little bit about posters. Where did they appear and what were we trying to say there?
Yeah, so the launch with the government department was in November, and then we went out in February with an advertising campaign to support those messages. We used a variety of channels, including video on demand, so using channels such as All4, ITV, Hub and Skygo, where we used 3 video on demand adverts which were filmed on location, so focusing on milk, on cheese, on toast and also on yogurt, with different occasions and different people targeted through those adverts. We were able to be really, really tight on those who were seeing the adverts, so actually targeting those millennial parents, so watching TV on a family occasion. The out-of-home advertising, so our billboard sites, our poster sites, were national network rail sites, so we're being seen in Edinburgh Waverley, London Euston, Birmingham New Street, Wakefield, Nottingham, so smaller towns and bigger cities at the same time over an 8-week period. And they were also supported by social media content, which was pushed out through our own Instagram and Facebook channels, but then also supported by those influencers that we've mentioned earlier.
Okay, so listening to you talking about that then, very clearly, we weren't trying to talk to anybody in the industry, in the sector. We weren't trying to talk to our levy payers with this campaign. We'd almost made a deliberate decision not to talk to them, which is perhaps why now, for the first time, people are hearing about this.
Potentially, and I think, you know, I think it's important to bear in mind that whilst we are here to operate on behalf of our levy payers, the end goal is to increase consumption of dairy. And I'm pretty sure that the levy payers that we've got will be consuming sufficient themselves. So obviously it's important to change those attitudes and address what we've seen as a long-term decline in dairy consumption through the industry. So obviously we are here to change those attitudes and those mindsets of consumers to increase consumption and get them shopping more regularly. But equally, going back to the first point around setting up the campaign in the first place, to remind consumers of how it fits in with their lifestyle and how relevant dairy is to what they're trying to achieve, whether it be family meals, whether it be sports nutrition, whether it be just purely and simply enjoying the taste of cheese or yogurt at different meal occasions.
So just before we come up to date with what's been happening recently, let's just talk about some of the PR that went around this as well, because there's all the paid for advertising that you've described, but there was some big PR stuff done as well.
Yeah, there certainly was. And that was at the same time as the advertising campaign. So again, it's another channel for us to use in terms of getting the message out to consumers. The governments tend to release white papers on certain important subjects throughout the year, and we were no different. So we launched in March a cream paper with some important manifesto elements on there, such as which side of a crumpet should you butter. Interestingly, there's over 500,000 Google searches a year on which the right side to butter is, and I would hate to see the search history of people who ask that question. Whether jam or cream comes first, which was also picked up by the National Trust in terms of the debate between Devon and Cornwall. Is cheese on toast classed more as food porn than avocados? So actually measuring the amount of conversation around cheese on toast versus avocado on toast on social media, and unsurprisingly, the cheese on toast won by 3 times more conversation. Right. So obviously essential topics for the British consumer to be aware of.
Okay, but this was also, in PR terms, this was an opportunity that farmers could get involved in?
Yeah, of course. I mean, with the PR side of things, we had produced a range of promotional merchandise, including on-farm banners, car stickers, mugs, postcards to promote the campaign and to promote the messages that we were seeing in the campaign itself. So yeah, it was obviously an opportunity for our levy payers to get involved with the campaign. And again, that was something that was well received because of the nature of the fact that this was the first campaign we've done in 10 years, and dairy farmers were very much on board with the message that we were trying to get across, so we're keen to get involved.
Okay, so winding forward now to 2019, we clearly ran the first campaign. That was over 12 months. There was a £1.2 million budget. The second year of campaign was approved, and was that a similar sum of money?
Yeah, so we rolled out the second year again. That started in October of 2018 and has rolled through to sort of where we are now. The budget was the same, so we had approval from both AHDB board and Dairy UK board to carry on with the level of funding. We tweaked the approach slightly in terms of the media buy, so actually we, for the first year, or for the first time actually that anybody in AHDB has done, we carried out cinema advertising, so targeting those millennial parents again during the Easter break with adverts through the films that were released at the time, such as Dumbo and other family sort of family favourites over the Easter break. Continued with a video on demand activity, and we reduced our billboard billboard advertising to focus on iconic sites in London. So Westfield at Stratford, Seven Sisters, and some other arterial routes coming in and out of London. And again, able, because we were using digital advertising, so actually the digital advertising billboards, we were able to contextualize the advertising. So making three different creatives to appear during the day at different points in the day. So essentially we could talk about breakfast in the morning, we could talk about a cheese sandwich at lunchtime, we could talk about an evening meal while commuters are on their way home thinking about what they're going to have that evening.
Okay, so I guess you marketing guys, you're driven by results, you're driven by how these things can be analysed and adjusted for the future. Let's talk about what's been achieved then in order to demonstrate return on investment. What are the numbers? What's happened?
So we look at things, you know, in terms of interactions with content, how many people are going to see the adverts at a given time, whether that be online or whether that be opportunities to see or footfall measurements through train stations, etc. So we had 19 million interactions with a campaign on social media, and we're able to reach 14 million people through digital advertising. The cinema activity, we reached 8.3 million people and actually got a 2-week extension on the campaign through cinema because it was proving so successful. And we also look at, obviously, rather than it just being how many people have seen it, but what the actions they've taken from, and has it changed their behaviour? Has it changed their attitude towards the campaign in question? And again, it's something that we do across all of the campaigns, not specific to dairy. But we saw across the first year, an 8% of the target audience were less likely to be cutting their dairy intake as a result of seeing the campaign, and an 11% drop in those who were considering switching to plant-based beverages or dairy alternative products.
Okay, so 19 million, I think you said, interactions on social media. I mean, that's not inconsiderable, is it?
It's a big number. It is a big number, especially for a campaign on like you said, I mean, £1.2 million. It's a lot of money, but in the greater scheme of things, it's not a lot of money. So to be able to deliver the levels of interactions that we saw, particularly on the social media side of things, was hugely impressive for us. And working with the media agency to actually look at the reasons behind that was working on the creative, and the fact that the cut through on the creative design of the campaign was so different to other billboard advertising, which is more often than not, when it comes to food, pictures of food and you know, nicely set up. Whereas the dairy campaign, it was essentially the cream background with block black text on, which made people stop and question, A, whether it was a real government announcement, B, questioning the government because what on earth does the government need to get involved in cheese for? And then C, realising that it wasn't a real government announcement, but actually then remembering the creative because it had that sort of stop and look impact on them at the time. And the same for social media when scrolling through their own channels. So the engagement is, it's easier to measure the engagement on social media because you have those click-throughs or those likes or those shares or video views, etc.
So the trends are positive. We're seeing a slowdown in terms of the number of people who may be looking at alternatives. Where do we go from here then? What's the next step?
The next steps are we go back into planning again, and we look at the results again. We see where we can make improvements. As I say, we will continually measure the data, and certainly some of the learnings we took from year one into year two were that people were more positive towards dairy, but actually the question mark around relevance was still there and how it fits into their lifestyle. So actually using maybe more modern meal occasions, more modern food to associate with dairy was something that we could take into year two, and that certainly was reflected in the lines that we used on the advertising, moving more from cheese on toast to actually talking about more modern cuisine, falafels, fajitas, and how dairy can be integrated into that. So again, we go away, we review those learnings, we review other data sources that we've got that can give us a bit more insight, and we take it from there.
So if listeners want to look at any of the materials or see the adverts, are they available somewhere?
Yes, so the adverts are available on the AHDB website on the marketing pages. So they've got the suite of the three adverts that are hosted on the dairy page. And it gives you also a little bit of a background into the campaign, gives you the links to the social media channels to go and follow those if you are of a Facebook or Instagram disposition. And we also have some of the pharma packs still available. So what we're asking levy payers to do is, if they want to get involved with the campaign, is to contact their local KE officer, and they will be able to advise them as to what we've got in stock and what they can order.
Okay, so just in summary then, a successful campaign delivered working in partnership with Dairy UK. So, you know, that's a real positive as well for the industry. And I guess you're looking forward to the next 12 months.
Yeah, certainly am. And it's been, like you say, John, it's been certainly been a pleasure working with Dairy UK. I think it's enabled us to bring the whole of the industry together, you know, as we say, for the first time in a decade on a consumer campaign. Obviously, we work closely with them in other areas. But I think it just shows the value in us working together, and that the industry is certainly aware of the situation and what we're doing to address it.
Stu, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
My other guest is Susie Stannard. Susie, thanks for joining us. You're an analyst with AHDB and you look at consumer insight. What's that?
That's right. Well, consumer insight is just looking at people. You know, lots of people, you'll hear consumers bandied around, but we really mean people. And understanding what makes people buy certain products or decide not to buy certain products. So it's as simple as that, really. It's understanding why people behave the way that they do.
Okay, so Stu Baker told us that the decision to embark upon these recent dairy campaigns was based on the fact that there was some consumer insight which was showing that the 20 to 35-year-old age group had fallen out of love with dairy. Is that what you see?
That's right, to some extent. So we've seen a degree of occasion loss over time, and I don't think that's reflective of people completely falling out of love with dairy by any means. Dairy is hugely important to British consumers. We know that 98% of British consumers are buying dairy in any given year. You know, the penetration of dairy is phenomenal. But what we did see within the younger age groups is some of them were perhaps not consuming quite as much as they were in the past. And that's really because they're changing the way that they consume certain things. So in the past, I think we all can relate to having a cup of tea with a splash of milk in, black builder's tea, splash of milk, and we were probably drinking several cups of that every day. Well, actually, people in that younger age group now are perhaps not having hot drinks as often as they used to. And so we're seeing a bit of loss of occasions. And you know, when they're having sandwiches, they might not be having your traditional white bread sandwich that's spread with butter. They might be having things like a wrap, and we don't tend to butter wraps. So rather than people rejecting dairy, we're just seeing a bit of erosion with the types of food that people are having changing, and dairy maybe not keeping pace in quite the same way as they used to. Now, that's not to say that amongst that younger age group, we're seeing people moving away en masse, and there's a shift in different types of dairy. So we know, for example, actually consumers in that 25 to 34-year-old age group love cheese. Actually, cheese is one of the most popular things that they say they couldn't do without. But as I say, things like milk, perhaps in hot drinks, is starting to not be as widely consumed.
Also, I suppose there's quite a lot of consumer choice now that wasn't around, you know, 10, 20 years ago. There are a lot of other things competing for the products that are in the dairy aisle.
That's right. And I think when we look at the milk category and the milk aisle, when you go down there, you just see an absolute wall of kind of white packaging. And the only real difference that consumers would see is either a green top or a blue top or a red top. And that's not a very exciting fixture to shop. It's cold in there. So we know that consumers tend to go through on kind of speed mode, grab what they need, and they kind of get out of there. But actually, a few years ago, the alternatives moved away from this kind of dusty old soya milk, which they thought they'd seen but thought, well, probably doesn't taste very nice. And the category started to change with some new entrants, you know, things like almond milk, oat milk becoming very popular, coconut milk coming in, and all of a sudden it becomes an interesting place to shop in and to look at when you're going through. And so that's what's happening with younger consumers, is they're starting to almost investigate that fixture a little bit more, reevaluate some of the choices, whereas before their parents would have just always bought cow's milk because that's what they always did. These guys are now realising they have more of a choice. That's not to say they're turning away. And we know actually when consumers have a dairy product, such as a latte made with almond milk, for example, they're very often having it with a real dairy product. So they're very often having it, say, with a mozzarella cheese panini, for example. So these aren't people going, no, I'm not having dairy products anymore. These are people dabbling and exploring different flavours and different variants.
Okay, so what you're saying is that despite choice, then it looks as though dairy sales are not being dented. Just looking forward then, or perhaps reflecting on the campaign, are you seeing the results that Stu has referred us to, that he's saying that there's a slowdown in the number of people that are making different choices and so on? Is that being reflected in the numbers you're seeing?
Yes, we are. So if we really hone down on millennial parents, which is an awful buzz term, but it really refers to people in that sort of new parent territory. We know that people, when they get to that life stage, are kind of reevaluating their choices. You know, they realise that they have to give their children lots of milk for growth and so on. So they're really looking at their life choices. And we've seen fewer of that group saying that they're going to look at buying alternatives, and just a real openness, I guess, in dairy products. And we've certainly seen in things like cheese, particularly, real growth in that area amongst that younger group. May not be directly as a result of the campaign, but I think what we are seeing is a real reinforcement of positive attitudes towards dairy. So we're seeing more people saying that dairy is part, a valued part of their diet, and that it has health benefits, particularly for young children. So the campaign's really helped reinforce those positive sentiments towards dairy.
Well, long may that positivity remain. Susie, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, John.
I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.
Visit hdb.org.uk for all the latest news, research and information, and follow us on Twitter at @thehdb to stay up to date.